Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Through 26. Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. I'm going to open up in a word of prayer as you turn there. Our goal here today is to hear from the Word of God, not from my opinion, not from your opinion. We want to hear from God today. So we're going to pray that God would teach us today. Kind of like last week, this is really just an extension of last week's sermon. And so I'm going to be talking about, as a human being to human beings, godly things, which is what we do every week. But I can't get there. I cannot, with my human words, describe to you what it is to be blessed by God in salvation. And so I'm going to ask that God, the Holy Spirit, would teach us these things in our hearts. So let's pray before we get into it. Father, we are hopefully Christians in this room. If they're not Christians in this room, Lord, I pray that they would understand their relationship with You is not what it's supposed to be. But for those in this room who are Christians, Lord, we want to always be learning more about who You are, and our knowledge of You, we want it to be greater and greater. We don't want to just say, okay, I'm good, I got it, and just live the rest of our lives. We want to know You better and know You greater every single day. And so today is an opportunity for us to know You more and to know more about You. And Father, we need You to teach our souls, teach our hearts something that human words cannot and human concepts can't, Lord. So we're just going to ask and beg and plead that You would teach us something new today, and that today would be a miracle that would happen in our hearts. And You can do that every single day because You are that awesome and that amazing, Lord. And so we just pray that You would do that today in our hearts as we study Your Word. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Acts chapter 3, Jesus, God, set the stage for Peter to have a sermon. And so again, He's healed this man in the first few verses, and everybody's coming to run to see what's going on. And so God has built this giant crowd of thousands of people, and Peter's speaking into those people's lives. And so we said last week, we talked about the blessings of what it means to be saved. The first part of the sermon, Peter was saying, you all are murderers, you're sinners, you need to repent. And then last week, starting in verses 17, was Peter was saying, and if you do repent, this is how you're blessed. This is what happens when you repent and follow the Lord. And we talked about three things. There's the instantaneous moment of salvation when everything that you've ever done or will do is forgiven by God. There is life on this earth. That life on this earth gets better. Now, we're not preaching prosperity gospel. We're not saying that everything's going to be perfect and you're going to get a new car and everything's going to be figured out. But we are saying that a life with purpose and meaning and things that make sense and the knowledge and the relationship of God, that life is better. And then finally, we said that we get to be in heaven. So we get to be in a place where none of us struggle like we do on this earth. So all the problems that I have and all the problems that you have, we don't have those in heaven. And so we get to hang out with a bunch of people who have got who have been made right by God. And then we said ultimately that one of the best parts, if not probably the best part of heaven, is that we get to be in the presence of the Lord. Okay? So those are the three things we talked about last week. And so today, I'm not going to talk about anything really new, but maybe just pull something out and kind of put it under a microscope and talk about a blessing of being saved. I don't want to call it a benefit. It's really a blessing of being saved that sometimes we miss in today's gospel message. Okay, so there is the forgiveness of sins. There is now life on this earth has meaning, and we get to go to heaven and we don't go to hell. But there is a big piece of the gospel of salvation that I don't think we teach enough on. And that is, not only do we receive all of these things, but we, the blessing, it's hard to say, the blessing is the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? So who Jesus is part of the gift that we get from God. The gospel is not just what Jesus can give you, not just what Jesus does for you, although those things are amazing and awesome. But it's also Jesus Christ, the person of God Himself. He's not just the gift giver, He is the gift. Right? And so sometimes the gospel in, I don't know if it's just this time, but we hear this message. Do you want to go to hell? The answer is no. Okay, then what do I need to do? You need Jesus. And that's it, sometimes in churches. All Jesus is a get out of hell card. That's all that it is for some people. But that is to miss so much of the gospel. Because it is true. And it is an awesome thing that we don't have to go to hell and pay the price punishment for our sins. That is awesome. But that's not the only thing that is salvation. That's not the end goal. I want you to think with me, if you will, about maybe a material gift that you've been given. Okay? Tom, can I brag on you for a second? All right. So Tom's wife is on Facebook, and you, I guess you gave her flowers. I'm not sure why. That's not important. But you gave her flowers. And so today, on Facebook, this is 2018. We're going to talk about Facebook. It's happened. This is the world that we live in. So one of our church members was bragging, not about the flowers, not about the material things. She was bragging about her husband, who gave her that gift. And so maybe somebody has given you something amazing. Maybe it's something tangible, a necklace, a jewelry, whatever it is that's your thing. And somebody gave you that great gift, and it was a heart gift. It wasn't just something that was expensive. It meant something. What did you do? You didn't take that thing and hug it and love it. You put it down and you ran over to the person who gave it to you. Because you love the person more than you love the thing. And sometimes the gospel, salvation, is sold as Jesus is my meal ticket to heaven. But we forget about the person of who Jesus Christ is. We have to remember that Jesus did die on the cross. He did pay the price for our sins. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And Jesus did do that for us. But not just so we could stay out of hell. He did that so that one day, this day in a kind of a weird way, but ultimately one day, we can be with God. It is through Jesus paying the price that we are able to be with God. And so the price paid for our sin is a great thing, and I don't want to negate that. But it's so that it has an end, so that we can be with God. So that our relationship with God can be good. I'll tell you, everybody has a relationship with God. If you don't know that, every single person in this world has a relationship with God. The question is it a good one or a bad one? And so those who have repented and God has paid the price for our sins, our relationship is restored. It's good. And those who haven't, their relationship is not good. But the blessing of the gospel is that we get Jesus. We get to be in the presence of the Lord. We get to know God. Right? Just sit down one time and think about that. The God of the universe who spoke everything into existence. You breathe because He's allowing you to breathe. You have children because He's allowed you to have children. Everything that you have is because God has allowed it. You can be with Him. You can know Him. You can be in His presence. That's because of the price paid on the cross. We're going to get to our passage, but I wanted you to go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8 first. Philippians 3, 7 through 8. The Apostle Paul is going to tell us how awesome it is to him to know the Lord. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, starting in verse 7. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss. Why, Paul? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul's greatest treasure is not staying out of hell. Paul's greatest treasure is not just what happened on the cross. Paul's greatest treasure is knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So a guy who's Paul, who pretty much knows as much as a human being can know, who's got a proper perspective, he's not saying, I get out of hell. He's saying, I get to be with Jesus. That's his greatest treasure. And so before we get into this passage, because this is really what Peter is pressing on them, I want to ask you the question, is knowing God your greatest treasure? Is being with God the greatest treasure in your life? Can you look at other things, as Paul said, and said, everything else is relatively garbage. Of everything of this world is garbage compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. Is that where you are? So let's read the passage back in Acts chapter 3. As Peter is going to be talking about this, and we'll walk through it. Here's what Peter says to the crowd. He has just told them, "You all are guilty murderers." And then he says in verse 17, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, He thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets long ago." Verse 22, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of prophets, and the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, "And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." God, having raised up His servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." If you read this through the context of Jesus Christ being the gift, you start seeing it in that way. Right? Back in verse 20. Christ is appointed to you. You have been given this prophet. You haven't been given this thing that He's going to give you. You've been given Jesus. Verse 26, "By turning every one of you from your wickedness," turning from sin to Jesus. So what's He talking about here? Okay. On a very difficult note, difficult in terms of technicality, there's a school of thought between dispensationalism and covenant theology, and so I would encourage you to Google that and to find out what that means. There's a large conversation that has to be had about talking to the Jews and talking to Gentiles and how this all thing comes together, but we just don't have time to cover that kind of theology. So you're saying, "Ben, I want to know what that means." Then go home and do some homework. Dispensationalism and covenant. That's only two, right, Dave? Yeah, dispensationals and covenants. So that plays into some things, and you're like, "I don't get it." Then just table that and go home and do some research on your own. But what we do know is that Peter is talking to Jews. Okay? So the Jews know their history well. Again, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, they know their history well. And so here's what they would have known. Through the prophets and through the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, they knew that the God of the universe wanted to be with them. He didn't just want to say, "Okay, let me create this world and take a step back and watch it work and see how they do." The God of the universe wants to be intimately involved with His created human beings. He wants to be in their presence. I'm just going to read Leviticus 26, 11 and 12. You don't have to go there, I will. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 26, 11 through 12. This is all over the Old Testament. Leviticus 26, 11. God says to the nation of Israel, "I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people." That is all throughout a lot of the rules in the Old Testament. God wants to be with His people. God desires to be with His people. He's created a system so that He can be with His people. So if God wants to be with His people, then what's the problem? Why aren't we with Him the way that we're supposed to be with Him? If God wants to be with us in this good and healthy way, then why isn't that the case? Answer: sin. Right? Genesis chapter 3, verses 8. We know that in Genesis 1, Adam and Eve and God had a good and healthy relationship, because at the end of Genesis 1 it said everything was good. But here we see a change in Genesis chapter 3 verses 8. God wanted to be with them, but something changed. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So there was a time when their relationship was good, and when God came walking, they're like, I want to go see God, He's here. But in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8, they're hiding from God. They don't want to be around God. They don't want God to find them. Why? Because they'd sinned. And so the relationship that we're supposed to have with God got messed up because of sin. And it wasn't just Adam's sin. It wasn't just Eve's sin. It was the entire nation of Israel's sin that caused their problem. And fast forward to 2018, it is our sin that causes the problem. God wants to be with us, but it's our sin that causes the problem. But what Peter is reminding the Jews in Acts chapter 3 is, throughout all of this time, God has always been saying, I want to be with you, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to send the great prophet, Jesus, to fix the problem. Let's do one more Old Testament passage. Jeremiah chapter 31. If you were Jewish, you'd be all over these Old Testament ones, but we're not Jewish, so we're not as good at our Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31. Again, the Jews knew that God wanted to be with them. The Jews also knew that they had this huge problem of sin. And they knew that God kept promising throughout time, I'm going to make it right again. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Let me just fast forward to verse 33. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The new covenant is so that people can know God. That's the whole point. To get back to the place where we can be with God. And so Peter is reminding them in Acts chapter 3, God wants to be with you. But in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, he said he can't be with you because you're murderers. He says, but if you repent, then your sins can be forgiven. Your sins can be blotted out. And that provides the way for you to have a good and healthy and proper relationship with the God of the universe. The ultimate blessing for the believer is not just that we avoid hell. Again, that's what it's sold as. Want to go to hell? No, you better go to Jesus. And that's it. That we make jokes about that with some of our children's programs. Do you want to die and go to hell, or do you want to be in heaven with mommy and daddy? I want to be in heaven. Okay, then you need Jesus. Got it, right? But it's not really explained. What about the person of Jesus? The ultimate goal is for us to be with the God of the universe and a healthy and proper relationship. And so Peter is telling them that relationship can be restored. Not just the broken world, but the relationship between us and God can be restored. Through repentance, that relationship can be restored. So Peter promised it to the Jews 2,000 years ago, and that promise is the same for us. Okay? Plain and clear, clear and plain. The God of the universe created you and He wants to have a relationship with you. A good and healthy, proper relationship. But we have all messed it up, right? We get that. We've all sinned. And so if you're here today and you said, I've sinned, then you and I are part of the problem and why we can't have this relationship. And Jesus Christ paid the price so that our relationship with God can be restored. So that like Paul, we can say that the greatest thing in this life is I can know the Lord. I'm able to know the Lord because of what Jesus did on the cross. But my question to you is do you take it to that next level? Is the gospel just a way for you to avoid hell and get in the back door of heaven and say, I don't really care where I am as long as I'm a janitor in heaven. I just want to get in the back door. Now, if you're young in your faith, let me tell you, there's probably 99 Christians come to Christ that way. I remember Mom, my mom's here, right? Mamie Sutton, she was kind of mean, right? First grade teacher Mamie Sutton, first grade Sunday school. I don't know what she was saying, but I was afraid of hell when she was talking about it. And so let me just tell you, little baby Ben or little kid Ben, I wasn't that worried about the person of Jesus at that point. I just wanted to get out of hell because what she was saying was scary. And it is true. We don't want to be there. And so a lot of us, probably most Christians, if we admit it, that's probably the first step. I just don't want to go to hell. But it's got to change. It's got to evolve. As you get to know the Lord better, it changes. So my question to you is simple. Do you treasure what Jesus can do for you, or do you treasure Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's three answers to that. Do you treasure the Lord? Three answers. Number one is no. Some of you in this room might say, no, I don't really care about Jesus. I just don't want to go to hell. I think there's two things that you need to really think about there if that's your answer. Again, don't trick me. Don't lie. Be like, oh, of course I love Jesus. Jesus is my treasure above all things. Just be honest with yourself. You need to know where you and God stand. And so if your answer is no, I don't really love Jesus. I don't really even know Jesus. I just want to get out of hell. If your answer is no, I would say that there's probably two reasons. Number one, you might not be saved. Because the question is if you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit of God in your soul and you're devoted to Him and you're surrendered to Him to getting to know Him better, after 10 years of being a Christian, if you don't even know Jesus better, you'd say there's probably a problem there. I'm not saying you're not saved, but it's a possibility. The second reason is you just may have never been taught this before. You may have never been taught to seek out the Lord. You may have been taught, say this prayer, get baptized, you're done. Just hang out the rest of your life until you get to heaven. I hope that's not what you were taught, but a lot of people were. So it could have just been you never were told that. And so if your answer is no, I don't love the Lord, how do I get to love the Lord? How do I do this? The guys in Acts chapter 2 would tell us, Bible, church, prayer. Bible, church, prayer. The God of the universe is speaking to His creation. If you want to get to know God, here's how you get to know God. Pick up the Bible every single day and say, God, I want to know more about You today. Pray to God. Communicate with the God of the universe. If you love your spouse, you talk to them. You hear from them. And church, get around other people who love the Lord as much as you do, or maybe they love the Lord more. And you're like, can you please tell me how you do this? Get around your church. Do you treasure the Lord, not just what He can do for you? Some of you, your answer might be, I don't know. Never thought about that before. Never processed through that before. Here's what I'll tell you. If you treasure the Lord more than anything else in this life, your life will look different than the world. Your conversation will be different than the world. And so when your friends are sitting around talking about cars for 2 hours, you're going to say, that's all great and all, but really it doesn't matter. When your friends are sitting around and talking about the latest sports team to win the championship, you get the joy and the excitement, but really, it doesn't matter, and you know it doesn't matter. Your heart is different. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. So if your treasure's in Jesus, that's all that you're thinking about. You wake up in the morning, and you're excited about your relationship with God. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know if I treasure the Lord. Here's two ways to look at it. Let me just do a visual, okay? That's hell, and that's heaven. That's the absence of God. That's the presence of God. Sorry for you guys who sit over here all the time. You're always on the bad side. I'm always on the hell side. That's just over here, okay? Just draw a line here. Okay? Here's what some Christians do, right? This is repentance. So we're walking this way, and we recognize that's not the right way. I want to follow Jesus. So we say, oh, that's the way? Okay, that's how I avoid hell? Okay, good. And then this is the rest of our Christian life. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not going to hell, right? No. I don't want to go to hell. And we're just consumed with the fear of what may happen if we don't do the right things. So our whole life is focused on the old path, and we look every once in a while to make sure that we're good. Okay, I'm good, right, God? That's some Christian's life. That's all they live. This is what repentance really is. Right? There's the Lord. I'm going to pursue Him and get to know Him and love Him, and so He's my focus. And here's when you talk to a mature believer, they're not worried about hell anymore. They're so set on focusing on loving the Lord, they don't even think about hell anymore. It's in the past. What difference does it make? I'm not going there. I'm following Jesus. That's where I want to be. Do you treasure Jesus Christ, not just what He can do for you? Do you recognize the fact that God wants to be with you and the sin part has been dealt with so that you can be with God? And do you want to be with God? The last answer is yes. The last answer is, Ben, I wasted a whole hour doing this. I love Jesus. Of course I do. You don't have to tell me. I know God and I want to be with Him forever. And that's my greatest treasure. I believe there are plenty of Christians in this room who Jesus Christ is your greatest treasure. You love Jesus more than anything else in this life. And that's not a bad thing. Let me tell you, my wife is glad that I love Jesus more than I love her. And vice versa. That's a good thing. And so if your answer is yes, I don't really have much for you in terms of getting to know Jesus. But what I do have is let your light shine. Be open about it. Please, be open about it. The most important thing in your life is Jesus. So let's talk about it. It baffles my mind when we have two Christians who get together and they talk for hours and Jesus never comes up. How does that happen? We get people that talk in church and it's like everything, oh, the rain, the whatever, everything other than Jesus. How does that happen where two people who love God more than anything else don't talk about Him? And it's because it's weird and it's hard and it's different. And the world doesn't want to hear it. Who cares? Right? The joy and curse of America is we have the freedom of speech. You can say all your craziness, but I can say the truth as well. Don't hide it. If you love God more than you love anything else, don't hide it. Let it shine. Let people know that you love God more than anything else. Let your conversation just be all about Jesus. Does it really matter if they think all they do is talk about Jesus? That's not a bad thing. So I know it's a scary world. I know it's a world where people don't want to hear that. So what? God said, let your light shine. And on an evangelism or a making disciples note, let me just be clear. People are looking for answers. And everybody's talking about this pointless surface stuff because they don't know what else to talk about. Yes, it's going to rain sometime in the future. Yes, it rained in the past. Does that really matter? No, but we spend all this money and time talking about it because we have nothing else to talk about because there's no other point to this life. Until you introduce Jesus Christ into the picture. There's an eternal picture. There's more to life than just what's happening today and tomorrow. I am really joyful about Jesus. Sometimes it just comes across not so joyful, right? But I really, really just love God. And I hope that you all love God. And you're not just here just so you can stay out of hell. But I hope you're here so you can honor and praise and know God better. And I hope that you pick up your Bible every single day. I know I'm a pastor. It's my job. I know it's hard for you. You work 60 hours a week doing something else. I know it's hard. But goodness gracious, do you love the Lord? And this is Him talking to you. Pick it up. Hear from Him. And when God is welling out in your soul and you're so overwhelmed with how excited you are, tell people about it. People always wonder, how am I going to share the gospel? Just share what's in your heart. You love Jesus more than anything else? Yes. More than vacations? Yes. More than your wife? Yes. More than popularity? Yes. Well, that says something, doesn't it? Peter's message in the entire first part of chapter 3, or all of chapter 3, is God wants to be with us, but He can't because of our sin. But Jesus Christ makes a way so that we can be with God. That's the blessing of what it means to be a believer, to be with God, to be in His presence. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I don't believe in coincidences, so I don't believe that you're not, I don't believe that you're here by accident. I believe that you are here for a very specific reason. And if you're not a Christian, you have no idea what I'm talking about. More important than the things in this life? What? The only thing that I can hope and pray is that the Holy Spirit of God is working on your soul to a way that says, yes, I don't know what He's talking about, but it's better than what I have. Maybe God is working on your heart today and you're thinking, everything in this life has let me down. It's made promises and every single one of them has let me down. Maybe Jesus is the thing. You got to deal with the problem of sin in your life first. Because God loved you so much, He made a way for that sin to be dealt with. He died on a cross to pay the price for your sins. And if you will, like Peter says, repent, stop going your way and follow Jesus and pursue Jesus with all of your heart, then you'll be forgiven. And that's not it. You'll be forgiven so that you can have a restored relationship with the God of the universe. Again, I don't believe in coincidences. So if you're here today, I'd say take a step. God's calling you potentially to make a choice. Don't just say, wow, that was weird. Say, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to move forward towards God. For the believers in this room, just leave you with that question. Is Jesus your greatest treasure in life? Is God, how great is our God? Is God that great to you? Is He really? You can tell me yes. You can tell your spouse yes all day. But is God really that great to you? Is He your greatest treasure? I hope so. For my sake and for all of our sakes. Let's pray. Father, maybe it's because we're in this earth. And because everything around us tells us that the things of this earth are that good. Maybe it's because we're human beings with a sin problem, and that's why we can't quite cross over and really know what it is to be with You. Maybe that's why we keep getting tripped up. But it's clear to me, Lord, that in my life, it is so hard to treasure You above all things. And so I don't know why it is, but I know that we need Your help. And so, Father, I just pray that in our hearts, that our greatest treasure would not just be avoiding some sort of punishment, which is a good thing, and we're glad that we don't have to pay that price. But I pray that our treasure is the fact that we get to be with You, the Creator of all things who loved us so much. He, at a great sacrifice, Jesus died on a cross. That's how much You love us, God. And when we're given great gifts, we put the gift down and we hug the One who gave it to us. I pray that You've given us this great gift of the forgiveness, but I pray that we would understand that it's part of salvation, then jump into Your arms and hug You and be happy that we're with You. And Father, I just pray for anybody today in this room who doesn't even know who You are, let alone know how to treasure You. You want to have a relationship with Your children, and they need to repent and stop doing what they're doing and start following You if it would be that they could be with You forever. So Father, I pray that they would take a step of obedience today. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen.